Good morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Paul, and I have been going to this church my whole life. So I am honored to speak today and finish this series that we've been doing, which is our 2020 vision for the church, and just kind of setting out what God is doing here in the Vineyard and where he's leading us. And we have three scriptures that we've been using as our guiding principles. I just want to take a second, because usually I get up here and I'm just so excited, I just get going and I can't. So let's just take a second. If you guys just want to pray with me, why don't we just pray? Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for today. And God, I am honored to be able to be a part of this church and to share in the vision that you are setting forward for us. So, Lord, just thank you for this service and just bless it, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. All right, so if you've been with us for the past 3 weeks, if you haven't, you got to go check out the sermons. We got them posted up probably on YouTube. So go check those out. They're amazing, and you don't want to miss that. So the three scriptures that we've been going over, the first week was Proverbs 16:3, which says, commit your works to the Lord and your... That's a typo. That's my bad. I hit Control Z. I must have hit Z. Is... All right, we're done. I was kidding. He said, make sure there's no typos. I said, it's fine. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Fundamentally, we believe that if we commit what we're doing here in our church to God, that he will bless it and he will cause it to succeed. And it's that simple. The second week, last week, we talked about Matthew 9:36, and it says, when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Last week, we talked about the compassion of Jesus and how we too can have the heart that Jesus had for the people. We introduced the phrase reaching across the table. Chip had a table up here, and we just talked about that as a symbol for what it looks like when we come to church and we interact with people and the different people that are at that table. It was an incredible illustration, and I'm sure you're going to hear a lot more of that phrase, just reaching across the table, and how powerful that can be. And then today we're talking about Psalm 34:8. Which says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. I am really excited to talk about this. It's been really fun to just think about this scripture and meditate on it and ask God what it means for us today. And, you know, I could talk all day about God. I mean, if you know me, it's my favorite hobby. I love talking about God. I love looking at scripture. I love looking at the attributes of God. And I can get easily caught up in the weeds and the intricacies before you know it, and I'm on some crazy tangent, and it's great. But I think what David's hinting at here is something more. He's saying that you can talk and know a lot about God, but in order to truly know God, we need to experience him on a personal level. And that's what David's talking about here. He's talking about experiencing God on a personal level. So, you know, at first when I read this, I think, you know, David is he wrote the Psalms. He was a poet. He was a songwriter. And I don't think he's literally talking about tasting and seeing. This is definitely a metaphor for the intimacy that he had with God. Now, I think I can speak for a lot of us when I say that we've probably met a Jesus follower at some point in our life and maybe been a little weirded out by them. I know that I have met many a crazy Christian in my day. And, you know, from the outside, these people, maybe they are a little weird, which is fine. But really, I think possibly it's that the people that look a little crazy on the outside have probably had an experience with God, and that's caused them to be emotional and excited and kind of crazy. For instance, it's probably kind of a lot like the way people talk about aliens. Have you ever watched like Ancient Aliens on the History Channel? It's the most bizarre show I've ever seen. But you kind of think this is crazy. But the reality is people have had an experience. Hey, I'm not saying aliens are real or not real. You know, I'm not going down that. They are real. I'm just going I've had experiences where it's just there's one thing you cannot refute, and it's someone's experience. It's real, it happened, and there's nothing you can do about it. Certain experiences change our entire life, and that's just the way it goes. And I think David is coming from a place where he has clearly had an experience with God. And, you know, as you read David's story, I think it's 1 and 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel, he was kind of a crazy guy, you know, and that's, you know, he had tasted and experienced God. And it changed his life deeply. And I think for a lot of us, this isn't really how we feel about God. You know, for a lot of us, it's kind of the exact opposite. And in fact, maybe the scripture kind of sounds something like, learn the facts about God, just believe that he must be good without actually experiencing it. And that's just kind of what it is for a lot of us. It's like, yeah, I know God's good. I've read the Bible, and I just believe it. And I think that David is hinting at something more. And I like to look up other translations when I'm reading the scriptures. And one of them, especially in the Psalms, is the Passion Translation. And it reads Psalm 34:8 this way. It says, drink deeply of the pleasures of God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn and hide themselves in him. It's this really personal and intimate experience that David's trying to say here. You know, my favorite part about scripture is that it challenges what we believe. You know, because without this scripture, I'm left with my understanding of who God is, my limited and broken view. But this scripture is challenging me. It's saying, you know, God is personal. God is intimate. And you can have a real, tangible experience with him that's a lot like tasting and seeing life. It's that real. And I'm like, whoa, that's real? Because to me, like, I don't know. Scripture is challenging me right now. You know, I'm reading the truth, and it's like, man. You know, while I was exploring this chapter or this scripture, I was just trying to listen to God and say, you know, where else can I understand this? Because, you know, that's a fact. The fact is, God can be experienced. But if we stop the sermon here, I feel like there's a huge unanswered question, which is, how? How? I mean, David, like, that's great, but, like, how can I experience the infinite God of the universe in this seemingly impossible way? So one of the scriptures I was led to was in Matthew 5. And if you want to turn there now, Matthew 5, it's one of Jesus's most famous messages. It's known as his Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. It's one of the scriptures that when you read it, at least when I read it, it just reminds me how much I love Jesus and his teachings, because it is just challenging. It flips my whole understanding upside down. And at the same time, I'm so drawn to it. I mean, there's so much spiritual truth. And this sermon, I mean, it'll just make your head spin. I mean, it's just full of insightful information. He starts this message off. He's surrounded by thousands. And he kind of retreats up into the mountain. And people follow him. And then he sits down and he begins to teach them. He starts by teaching them these 8 blessings. And I want to read it to you. And I've pulled it from the Message translation, I think it's a little easier to, it just brings a little bit more context in this. And I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit, because I think it, I really want to show you why I think it's important for us right now. So in Matthew 5, starting in verse 1 from the Message translation, it says, Jesus saw his ministry drawing huge crowds. He climbed a hillside, and those who were apprentice to him, the committed, climbed with him, and arriving in a quiet place, he sat down and taught them. This is what he said. You experience God when you're at the end of your rope. With less, there is more of God in his rule. You experience God when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you, and only then you can embrace, be embraced by the one who is most dear to you. You experience God when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. This is the moment you find yourself proud owners of everything that cannot be bought. You experience God when you've worked up a good appetite for him. He is food and drink and the best meal you've ever had. You experience God when you care. At the very moment of being full of care, you find yourselves being cared for. You experience God when your inside world, you're at peace with your inside world, your mind and your heart. Only then can you see God in the outside world. And you experience God when you can show people how to cooperate instead of competing or fighting, because it is then when you discover that you are really what your place is in God's family. And lastly, you experience God when you when your commitment to him provokes persecution. That persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. That is a lot, and I wish we could just go over all of those, because it's they're all amazing. Obviously, we don't have the time to do that today, but there are two of those blessings, those eight, they call them the Beatitudes, those two, there's two that I want to bring out, and the first one is this. Jesus says, you are blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He is food and drink and the best meal you've ever had. You know, I just love that, because in Jesus's words, if you desire God, you will experience him. It's that simple. We want to complicate it. We want to think there's more to it. But Jesus says if you desire God, you will find him. And he will be the best thing you've ever experienced. Wow. The second one is this. You are blessed, or you experience the blessings of God when your inside world, your mind and your heart are put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. I really love this because I feel like this is the heart of the message for me. Jesus is referring to your identity. When we understand our identity, when we've come to grips with who we are, it is then that we can begin to see God. And I love this because, and I have to go on just a side here about identity. If you don't know what my day job is, I work for the logistics agency in a quality testing facility, and we test items in accordance with their standards. And what we do is if I get an item in and they ask us to verify it, I say, okay, we're going to verify this material in accordance with this standard. If I didn't have a standard, there's no way to pass or fail the item. It has no reference. So with our identity, the question is, where is your reference? What is your identity in accordance with? And I want to challenge us, because the reality is your identity is in accordance with something. But when I read this scripture here, when I read the Bible, I see my identity is defined in the Word. And I want my identity to be in accordance with the Bible, because it is amazing. it tells me what my identity is, who God sees me as, what my role is as a human, as a created being. I want my identity to be in accordance with the Bible. That's just an aside. But what is our identity, right? You know, Jesus is saying, hey, if you get your identity right, you're going to experience God. Not just know God, but you'll experience God. Experience God in the way that David is talking about. In the very next verse, in verse 13, Jesus says this. Let me tell you who you are. Let me tell you why you're here. He says, you are here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your youthfulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this. As public as a city on a hill. And if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket. I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that you have been on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep an open house. Be generous with your lives. And by opening up with others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, the generous Father in heaven. This is our identity according to Jesus, written right here. He is calling us. I mean, really, what is he saying about us? It's incredible. It's almost as if he's making a direct reference to Psalm 34:8. David says, taste and see God. And Jesus says, you will be the flavor and you will be the color. It's like, I mean, let's just wrap our heads around this. Jesus is saying that you are created to be the visible goodness, the tangible goodness of God. That is your identity. That's amazing. That's an incredible purpose. Almost too hard to believe. Almost, I don't know, Jesus. I don't know. I know a lot of messed up people. I'm pretty messed up myself. How could I be a visible, tangible representation of God's goodness? That doesn't seem right. It's too good. But Jesus is sure. I think this is challenging. I think this is really challenging for us as a church. And I don't think it's a coincidence when people come to church, they're hungry for God. And like Jesus said, those who hunger for God shall find him. I think that we can be the reason God experiences, or we can be the reason that people experience God's goodness. What an honor. What a privilege. It really is a privilege. I mean, it really is an honor. I am so grateful when people say to me, like, you know, because of what you did, like, I was XYZ, like, you showed me God's kindness. You showed me a way to serve. Or, you know, people blow me away. You know, I love the way that you and Katie live your life and all these things. And it's amazing to me because it's not because of me. It's God's goodness through me. And I'm so humbled by that. It really is an honor. And I think as a church, we can be that city on a hill. And people can come into this community of believers and experience God's goodness through the way that we care for one another, through the way that we are generous with our lives. I want to be generous with my life. I have to constantly fight the desire to be a hoarder of my things and selfish with my wealth. I have to challenge myself to open up. God says, by opening up your life, you're going to encourage others to open up to God. By showing people how to be generous. They can experience the generosity of the Father. I really think that's how we come together as a church family. That's how we show the people who are coming here to seek and learn about God, that's how they can experience it, through the way we care for one another. It's not really a mystery, after all. It's actually really practical and really, really hard, though. You know, I was just looking at, I got a couple extra minutes, so I'm just going to, before we close here, I was doing some research on just the churches in the world, the fastest growing churches in the world. And it's amazing to see where the churches are growing in places you would never imagine, in ways that don't really seem to make sense. In Iran, in a place that is a country whose national religion is Islam, there's still very few Christians there, but it's growing at an exponential rate. And it's not in church buildings, it's in houses. And it's through amazing women that are leading these churches. The mosques are being emptied and the Christians are meeting together. The church is exploding. Other church movements in China where the church is forced underground and thousands and thousands are meeting secretly. And actually the moment that the Chinese government allowed the church to meet publicly, they ended up shutting it down, and some of the church leaders said they were grateful because it's almost the oppression of it that causes them to realize how precious it is. I think it's amazing because the reality is it's not as hard as we think it is. Jesus is so simple and easy. And for me, experiencing God, I experienced God through others. People who demonstrated to me, they lived their life as a sacrifice, and I saw Jesus in them. I distinctly remember experiencing moments where I saw leaders and I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus, them walking with their disciples. I'm like, there he is. Through you, I see Jesus. Through your life, I experience God's goodness. That's the privilege that we have in store for us. That's the identity that Christ is putting in front of us. Let's come to grips with that. You are, I almost want, could do like a repeat. No, I'm not going to do that. You guys, we are the flavor of God. We are the color and the goodness to the world. And I want to encourage, this is an encouragement. This is an opportunity. And I think that's our 2020 vision. We commit our works to the Lord. We're going to memorize these. I'm just kidding. Proverbs 16:3. We commit our works to the Lord. He will bless it. Matthew 9:36. We have the compassion that Jesus had. And then lastly, in Psalms 34:8, we see that we can experience God personally, not just knowing about him, but experience his goodness by being the color and the flavor of God to the world through the generosity of our lives. Hopefully that wasn't too much. I was really excited about it. And I really believe that this is a new thing that God's doing in our church. He's taking us a little farther. He's challenging us a little more. It is hard, guys. It's really hard. We don't want to have people in our homes. It's nice to just have a kind of secluded life, but I think Jesus is challenging us, and when we are willing to give up our life, we will experience God's goodness in a way that we could have never believed or even asked for. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move on. Jesus, I just thank you. It is not us, Jesus, but it is you. And I'm just grateful that you use my life. You've given my life a purpose. I have a purpose, and it is the greatest purpose I could ever imagine. And that is to be an ambassador for you, a demonstration of your goodness. What an honor. Help me. Help me to be that, Jesus. Help. Thank you, Lord. And help us as a church. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Paul.
Or just, I come to church to connect with God, but I come to church because I love seeing my church family, and I love talking to my friends and experiencing their life and just enjoying you and your life and less us enjoying each other. And it's that simple, you know, and we can be the encouragement to one another, the peacemakers. We can be full of care and generosity for one another, and ultimately God's going to bless it and allow us to experience the joy to the full. So I love how simple and pure that is.
Amen. That's good. So I have a couple things. One of them is, I just feel like as Paul was preaching that, just some of you might have gotten this feeling like, well, that's not me. I can't be the one to draw anybody into the kingdom. I'm not the one to help somebody taste and see that the Lord is good. If you knew what was going on in my life, why would God want me to be that person? And I just want you to know that what God is saying to you is that you are that person. You are that person, because the reason you're here is because you know what God tastes like. You know the goodness of God. That's why you're here. God's not looking for perfect people to use. If that was the case, it would just be, well, nobody here.
That's right.
Yeah, and I was going to say me and Paul, but I was like, no, wait a minute. I looked at him and I was like, yeah.
I really felt like we should just pray a blessing over all the small groups, because I just feel like that's the heart of the church. You know, coming on Sunday is awesome and we can experience each other. But, you know, I just feel like the heartbeat of the church is the small groups, those who are meeting outside of the service. So can we?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's pray over the small groups. I'll let you lead that prayer. And then something that I would like to do is I would like for us as a church to join hands and pray for the future of this church. Amen? Because this series that we just finished up today is something that I see, and we as a staff leadership team here at the church see the future of this church, where we see it going. And none of us can go there unless we're all on board with it, and we are a family. That's why we're here. So Paul, why don't you, you lead? And then.
Yeah, I want to pray a blessing over all the small groups, and I just acknowledge the fact that it's not easy. And God, I just pray that the promise of your blessing upon our fellowship together would override any difficulty and any situation or thoughts that are discouraging it, God, that your goodness and your experience of who you are would just overshadow that. And just draw us closer together. I just bless all of the small groups, God. Draw them closer together as a group. Allow them to experience your goodness together. Thank you for that, God. And allow them to multiply. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And then, church, let's just lift up our hands. Let's just give God some praise here. God, I just thank you, Jesus. I thank you for the church that you established here through Pastor Dave 40 plus years ago. And God, I thank you for where you see this church 40 plus years from now, God. The leaders that are in this church, the people who come to this church, God. This church that calls themselves a family within your kingdom, God. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would just blow a fresh wave of your presence through this building, God. Through these people, God. Through those who call this their church, God. Father, that you would reignite flames, God. That you would reignite passions, God. That you would bring fresh ideas, God. That you would put within the hearts of us, God, the desire to reach across the table with people we've never seen before and to invite them in to taste and see that you are good. that you are good, God. Jesus, that we see more people come to you, Lord God, than we ever have in this church. I ask, Lord God, that you would move through us more than you ever have in our lifetimes, God. And I ask, Lord Jesus, that your blessings would be upon this church and what we set out to do, God. In your name we pray. Amen.